So Senator Rennie and Representative Hepler and members of the Joint Standing Committee on Marine Resources, I'm Diane Tilton. Again, I'm the executive director of the Down East Institute. And since 1987, our organization has been working to replenish clam flats and conducting research to understand how predation and other factors affect softshell clam populations. You will not find an organization in Maine that knows more or cares more about softshell clams than Down East Institute. I'm testifying in opposition to LD 711 because it's not necessary. The rest of that paragraph was an accidental paste, so you can ignore that. Feral oysters can actually provide clammers with a way to diversify their incomes, especially during the winter months. The value of clams is at its yearly low during the winter, when the value of oysters is at its yearly high. A clammer can make more money harvesting oysters during the winter than digging clams if populations of feral oysters occur in their area. Today, one oyster is as valuable as 6 to 7 clams. If fewer clams are harvested during the winter for a low price, there will be more clams available for harvest during the summer when the price increases. Eastern oysters have been native to Maine. They don't occur in far eastern Maine because the water is too cold, but in other areas of the state they have. Their populations, as you've heard, you know, were eliminated during a minor ice age. But there is evidence in history that they were harvested by Native Americans in the past. Oysters require a hard substrate to settle. Most feral oysters are found growing on rocky outcrops in the high intertidal. Clams don't grow on rocks, but they require soft sediment or sand, and they burrow. Creating two triploid oysters is a complicated process where a tetraploid male is used to fertilize diploid females. A tetraploid male is created using very nasty carcinogenic chemicals, which are hazardous to hatchery staff, and as you've heard from others, also creates logistical problems. And in this scenario, you'll still need fertile diploid females to produce the triploids. If all farms and hatcheries were prohibited from growing diploid animals, there's no way to have the fertile mothers in the picture. Chris Davis pointed out, there's no lab in the state of Maine conducting the type of testing necessary to prove the type of oysters, and the process requires a sophisticated machine, and every test is expensive. And there should be probably a larger fiscal note on this bill if it's going to pass, because it's going to be expensive to enforce. The process to create triploids is not 100% effective. They could very well think they're buying triploids and get diploids. So there's really no harm in oysters and clams coexisting in the habitat. And we believe this bill is just unnecessary and costly. Thank you.
Look at that.
I'm not a scientist, but I will answer questions. I'm adjacent to many scientists. So
Representative Dudera has one for you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Yes, we very much enjoyed coming to the Down East Institute and meeting you and seeing what you're doing there. Did any of the labs or any of the information we saw there kind of bear out what you're saying here? Or is that a completely separate issue? I mean, I appreciate the way you laid it out so clearly, but I'm just curious, wondering whether any of the work you were doing at the Institute, if that kind of bears out what you're saying here today.
I guess I'm not sure how to answer that. We know about clam habitat because we've studied it for, you know, 30 years. And the habitat requirements for oysters are pretty well documented. So it's not that we've had to go out and do experiments to see if oysters will attach to hard outcropping, because that's just what they do. It's just their natural.
So you seem to be saying this is a sort of a simple thing in a way. They don't share the same habitat. It's not an issue. It's a non-issue.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Thank you.
Representative Krafts.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Have you done any research in the Damariscotta River around softshell clam population and oysters?
Towns in the Damariscotta River watershed.
The town of Damariscotta, Newcastle, South Bristol.
Pretty sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. If you had information, could you provide that to the committee just on some topics?
Normally we're trying to do experiments to see what is preventing softshell clams from growing. Usually it's predation. But we've done, you know, we've done several different kinds of experiments to see what's what really affects the availability of softshell clams.
Thank you. I have a question. Do you have you done any research or have any concerns around the quantity of food sources available for oysters and clams, and if they are competing with each other?
I, you know, like I said, I'm not a scientist, but Dr. Brian Beale is. And when I talked to him about this, he said there's no chance that they could outcompete for food. That there's just, you know, that there's enough food in the water system available for, you know, I mean, when the flats were full of softshell clams, there was plenty of food for them. And there's no reason to think that the clams will starve because the oysters are eating the phytoplankton.
Thank you. All right. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else in the room who would like to testify in opposition? Come on down.